verse 16 through 21. John chapter 3, verse 16 through 21. Vance Havner said this, "Christmas is based on an exchange of gifts, the gift of God to man, His unspeakable gift of His Son, and the gift of man to God when we present our bodies a living sacrifice." John 3, 16 through 21. In the context of this scripture, remember what is happening. That Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he says, "We know that you are a teacher sent by God." I'm talking about eternal life, and that's where Jesus tells him about, you know, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is like, "How can a man be born again? He can't go back into his mother's womb." He says, "You're missing the point, basically, Nicodemus. Man must be born of water," meaning of the flesh, "and the Spirit," meaning by the Holy Spirit. That's being born again. And what's unique, Christians, is this, is once you are born into the kingdom of God, you can never be unborn. Just like when you are born into this world, you can never be unborn. God gives us a great gift. And that's where John begins to expound here in verse 16. Right after what Jesus has said to Nicodemus, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that they may be seen plainly what they have done and has been done in the sight of God." Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, we thank you for Christmas. Lord, we thank you for this season that we have set aside to celebrate the birth of your Son, our Savior. God, we don't want to take for granted that everyone knows Jesus as Savior. God, there are a lot of people who know religious facts. They know religious symbols. God, they know a lot of things about Jesus, but they do not know Jesus. Father, today I pray this message would pierce deep into our hearts. And maybe there's someone here this morning or listening by radio or listening by the internet, God, that they would understand they need a relationship with you for salvation. Help us today, God. Move by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. There are four truths this morning I want to bring from this passage of Scripture that we must know about God's greatest gift to us. And the first is this, is that God's greatest gift is really His Son. His Son said, "Well, Brother Kevin, that's kind of a no-brainer there." We have to understand who His Son is. See, the greatest gift God has ever given to the world was Himself in the person of His Son, Jesus. God gives Himself to us. Verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only, one and only begotten Son." See, the phrase "only begotten" translates from the Greek monogenes. The word translated means one and only. God doesn't have a lot of sons. He has one Son. That's all. There's some false religions out there teaching that Jesus and Lucifer were brothers. There's some false religions teaching that Jesus was really Michael the Archangel. Listen, that's false religion. Jesus is God's one and only begotten Son. Jesus is equal in essence to God as the second person of the Trinity. He is the only one of His kind. Jesus is supernaturally unique. He is 100% man and 100% God. terms we use to describe the relationship between God and Jesus, like Father and Son, are human terms to help us understand the difference between the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. See, on Christmas Day, God gave Himself to us completely through Jesus. We see in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Listen carefully, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she will name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Listen, we can't get that wrong. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Only Jesus has the ability to die for our sins. Jesus is the manifestation of God in the flesh. He brought to human form and function the very essence of God, who is Spirit. He flowed through Him. Jesus revealed the heart of God to the sinful world. The depraved minds of men could never understand the boundless love that God has for lost people. And church, is something we cannot forget, that God has endless, unconditional, boundless love for people who do not even know Him. People who tell Him no today, He still loves them, because we were those people too. We were the people also that would say no, no to Jesus, till one day He opened our eyes. The sins of people were so filthy and dark that God Himself had to intervene on our behalf. The sin of the world was so dark that, listen, those old sacrificial lambs didn't cut it. They just covered the sin for a season, waiting for the great Lamb of God to come to wash away those sins. The gift of God, the greatest gift God has given to us, is Himself through Christ our Lord. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 tells us, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon His shoulders. And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." C.S. Lewis says, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." The Son of God became man so that you and I can become sons of God. We must lock this down to our very core of our being. The Creator of the universe, the planner, the designer, the sustainer of all seen and unseen worlds. Yes, Him, God. The balancer of biospheres, the non-living matter. God Himself loves you enough to bankrupt heaven, to come down to have a relationship with you. Will you say yes to Him today? He bankrupted heaven just for you. And if you were the only person alive on earth, He would come just before you, because that's how much He loves you. It doesn't matter where you've been. He loves you like you are, and He wants to transform your life. Jesus, God in the flesh, walked with men, lived as an example to men, to die on the cross for men, so that we return and receive all of those who are His disciples. How can we say no to so great of a love as the Son of God? That God emptied Himself in a little baby that was born and raised here and lived 33 and a half years to show us how to live a life apart from sin. Verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world." Do you know the love of God through His Son, Jesus? When we think about Christmas, do you truly know the one in the manger? Do you know the one that lived the sinless life? Do you know the one that hung on the cross and died for your sin? Do you know the one who resurrected from the dead? Do you know Him personally in a relationship? Or do you just know things about Him through your denomination? If many of us were honest with ourselves, see, we really don't practice a relationship with God. We basically just do some church stuff. We just know some things about Him. But a relationship is an everyday thing. Husbands and wives, girlfriend, boyfriend, if you're not communicating with each other, there's not much relationship going on, right? We know what relationship means in human terms. Listen, that relationship with God is very, very similar. Matter of fact, it's more intense with God, who knows us far better than our spouse ever will. It was said that Jesus was God's gift to the world. But it wasn't just for Christmas. It is a gift that has been given every day of every year since that time. And the gift is still freely given. Jesus is still freely given today to anyone who would receive him. The second truth that we find is that with Jesus came our gift of salvation. With Jesus, God's only Son, comes our gift of salvation. Jesus brought a special gift of salvation for each person to either accept or reject as payment for a sin debt to God. We owe God a sin debt. We owe God for the things that we've done against Him in our life. Some people choose to try to pay that themselves, and they never will. Verse 16, the latter part of verse 16 to verse 17 says that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son to the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. There's a gift that Jesus brings, and it's our salvation. The purpose of Jesus' birth was to live a sinless life, which qualified Him body, mind, and soul to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus was born for the purpose of dying. That's God's plan from the very beginning. That's God's plan for His own Son, that He die, be born on that Christmas day, simply to be crucified on that Good Friday, is what we call it. His sinless life in exchange for the sins of an entire world. When God sent Jesus into the world, He sent a gift with Him. And that is our salvation. For all of those who by faith and repentance would receive Him as Savior. By faith and repentance. It's not just enough to know things about God. It's not just enough to know things about His Son, Jesus Christ. You have to know Him. See, the news has told us a whole lot of things about Donald Trump. A whole lot of things about Hillary Clinton. A whole lot of things about the politicians. But if you pick your phone up to try to call him, you will probably have no one to talk to. See, he doesn't know you, and you really don't know him. You know things about him. The same thing. There are a lot of people who know a lot of things about Jesus, but they really don't know Jesus. When God sent Jesus into the world, He sent a gift with Him, our salvation. Dr. David Jeremiah said this, saving us is the greatest and most concrete demonstration of God's love, the definitive display of His grace throughout time and eternity. God's love and His Son Jesus to bring us our salvation. Our sin debt had to be paid to God as a ransom for our soul for the consequences of hell. See, the only one qualified to save our souls from sin was God Himself. And He did it. You know what's really unique? Is that God doesn't tell us to clean our life up first. He doesn't say, hey, if you want to go to heaven when you die, you better clean your life up, then come to my Son, and then we'll work things out. No, He says, come just like you are. I'll save you just like you are, and then I'll begin to work in your life and clean you up. There's too many people who have bought into the notion, and I don't know who sold it to them, that they have to be perfect. They have to do all these things before they can come to Christ. And that's so wrong. That's so against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus took people unconditionally where they're at. He met them where they're at in their life, and He brought them to Himself. He saved them, and then He began to clean their life up. Then He began to clean their lives. Put it in simple terms, when you go fishing, do you clean the fish before you catch him? No. You have to catch him, put him in the boat, and then you clean him up. Jesus Christ catches us first, then he cleans us up. The gift of our salvation is priceless. Jesus Christ died for our sin to free us from our sin so that we could be with him in the end. Mark 8, verse 36 and 37 says, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his own soul? Or what can anyone exchange for their soul?" See, Christ died as a substitute for everything wrong in our lives, but nothing can ever be a substitute for Christ. Your good works can't be a substitute for Christ. Listen, the denomination that you choose to attend, the church that you choose to attend, can never, ever be a substitute for Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of people who put their name on the roll of a church, and they say, "If I just go there enough, I'll make it to heaven." Wrong! Listen, you can float around this parish and put your name on as many church rolls as you want to. It still busts hell wide open if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's plain and simple. A relationship with Christ, not a relationship with a denomination or a particular church. That's not priority. There's no substitute for Christ Jesus. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus. We're not going in the same direction as spiritualists, as Buddhists, as Hindus, as Islam. We're not. I've heard many in Hollywood and different ones say, "Well, we're all going to the same place. We're all headed in the same location." And said, "There are many paths to God." No, there's one path to God, and his name is Jesus. They believe. They believe Jesus was a good man. He was a good teacher. And some even believe he was a prophet. But they will not say he was the only begotten Son of God. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." That's John 8:12. Jesus brings us salvation. He ransoms us from sin and from hell, and he gives us his light. He said also in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." Is Jesus or nothing? It's not many pathways. It's Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. Have you accepted God's gift of Jesus as your Savior? He alone holds the keys to eternal life. He doesn't turn anyone away. He is less concerned about where you've been and much more concerned about where you're going. There's so many people who are so hesitant about coming to Christ because their past, all the decisions they've made in their past, and as dark as those decisions may have been, they say, "How could Jesus love me?" For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. Jesus wants you, wherever you've been, your mistakes, your bad decisions, your messed up life. He wants to give you hope, healing, and transformation. He wants to save your soul and give you a bright future. That's the God that we serve. You may need forgiveness and restoration. Do you need cleansing and salvation today of your soul? Oh, today, please, please don't turn him away. John Calvin said this, "Since no man is excluded from calling upon God, the gate of salvation is open to all. There's nothing else to hinder us from entering but our own unbelief." It's so sad when people believe that God couldn't love them enough because of their past. That God couldn't love them enough because of what they're doing, going through right now. And God said, "That's the exact reason I came and sent my Son to die on a cross, is because you couldn't do it on your own." The third truth is this. Jesus saves, and he also sanctifies. Jesus is the one who saves, sanctifies, and sustains all who by faith and repentance receive him as Lord and Savior of their lives. We see in verse 18, it says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Listen, God does not condemn anybody. You know what condemns people to hell? Their sin. And that's a worldwide problem. Sin condemns people to hell. There are a lot of people who just go through life, they'll reject Jesus Christ, so I'm not such a bad person at all. You know, in the very end, God is love, God will accept me as I am, and we'll all make it to heaven. That's wrong theology, and that's wrong thinking. Yeah, God loves us so much, He sent His Son to save us and to sanctify us. But it's our sin that sends people to hell. And Jesus came to free us from our sin and the penalty that went with it. Sanctify means to set apart for God's exclusive use. It's past. It is past, present, and future. Sanctification is both a position and a process. See, positional sanctification is true of every born-again believer, that we are saints of God. Listen, you don't have to perform three miracles after you're dead to be called a saint. The Bible calls us saints already. We're saints of God because of the cleansing work of the blood of Jesus, that He did that in our soul. He sanctifies us. We're saints of God. The instant we respond in faith and repentance to the effective call of the Holy Spirit on our soul, we are sanctified, set apart by God. We are His children. We move from just being His creation to being His child. You hear a lot of people say, well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. We're all creations of God. Only the only ones who are children of God are those who have Jesus as their Savior. The only ones. So when we're lost, we are a creation of God. He loves us so much. He loves His creation so much. He wants to save us. He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, down the cross. Brings a gift of salvation. We receive and accept that gift by faith and repentance. And when we do, we're sanctified. We're set apart as a child of God now. Our position has changed. So not only our position has changed, but it's also, sanctification is also a process that we go through. Sanctification is this process by which the Holy Spirit grows us and gives us power to put off sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 and 23 through 24 says this: put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness, and He can lead us into nothing less than the very holiness of God. We are positionally sanctified in communion with God the Father through Jesus Christ, and we are continuously undergoing this process of sanctification, this purification, this cleaning up of our lives, where the Holy Spirit sifts through our lives to show us areas that we need to change, repent of, and secure new boundaries so we don't go back there. Sanctification is a lifelong venture where we are refined more and more to the image of God. I've used this illustration before. Listen, it's so simple that we can get it. Sanctification is simply this. It's a lifelong process. And those of you who do a little bit of housework or work around the office, you know, you pick up a broom and you start sweeping the hallway. And a little window right here in the hallway, and the light's coming through, and you get to the end of the hallway, and there's this little pile of debris and trash and dust, and well, you start picking it up. But when you turn around to look, there's little dust particles floating all around. And you missed them. Wow. So once you pick that up, you go back over here and you start sweeping out again. You start cleaning the window ledge. And you know what? When you go through that sifting again, you're going to have another little pile of dust. And you pick that up and you look back, you miss some more. There's some finer details of debris coming down in dust. You go back and you sift. This is a lifelong process. because the light coming through the window reveals the dust. Let's put this in spiritual terms. Your life is that hallway and you're sweeping it out, and the light of the Holy Spirit comes and shines through, and He reveals those things that you missed. And you go back and you go and you sweep it out. See, at first He shows you the big things, and that's the things that you have, that big pile of debris, and that's the dust and a little piece of grass and sticks and all that stuff. That's the big things in your life that's pretty evident, and he gets that out. Then you start, because the closer you get to Christ, the more you sense all those finer things that you need to tune up to. And the closer you get to Christ, the more He wants you to look at those finer things that you overlooked before. That's sanctification as a process of cleansing out our lives. It's nothing to be scared of. Does it hurt sometimes? Oh, yeah. But that's where He wants us to be. And sometimes people get frustrated when they get over here. Well, I quit doing all this stuff. You know, I wanted to live the life that God wants, and I did all this. And look at all this other stuff. I got to go back. You mean I got to go back and clean it over again? Yep. Welcome to my world. That's an old Elvis song if you're not too familiar with it. Won't you come on in? That's what it's like being a Christian. It's nothing to be ashamed of when you find those little specks. It's you say, okay, God, give me the strength, the energy, and the power through your power, knowledge, and wisdom to go back and clean it out again. That's sanctification. John Owen said this, the growth of trees and plants takes place so slowly that it's not easily seen. Daily we notice little change, but in the course of time, we see that a great change has taken place. So it is with grace. Sanctification is a progressive, lifelong work. It is an amazing work of God's grace, and it's a work to be prayed for. Oh, can you today, Christian, you know you're saved, you know you're born again, and you've swept out a lot of things in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you've got rid of some junk that's been in there, and you look back and you're discouraged because there's still things that you need to go back. Oh, don't get discouraged today. That's what God wants in your life, for you to move all that out. The gift of sanctification. That your position with God has changed. You're no longer just a creation of God, you're a child of God. And it's a process of cleaning your life out. The fourth truth, and we're closing, is that Jesus is the gift who satisfies. The Lord brings satisfaction to our souls and fulfillment to our hearts. That Jesus is the gift that satisfies. You know, one thing I've learned about material possessions is their satisfaction level in my life doesn't last very long. Man, we're so excited to get rid of that old clunker and go trade it in, and we get a good deal, and we get a brand new truck. And we don't mind paying those notes for about the first 3 to 4 months, maybe 6 months. Then the new wears off, and the dirt starts getting on it, and mud's under the tires, and all of these things. You know what? Now it's just another truck that we're stuck with for 6 years, paying a note on it. Our satisfaction level changes very quickly. It's amazing how that happens in all areas of our lives. Because if we put our satisfaction based on the things that we have, on people and popularity and possessions, we will be dissatisfied very quickly. Verse 19 says, this is the verdict. Light is coming to the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. People reject Jesus and live as they choose because they seek to fulfill their desires with the things of the world. They're designed for more than insatiable pursuit of pleasure. The hard truth is that we will never find lasting, fulfilling satisfaction if we continue to seek them in the things of the world, in the people of the world. Seeking pleasures and satisfaction through the things of this world, it's like chasing after the wind, trying to capture it. We'll go this way for a while, then we'll go this way for a while. We think we want this, and we'll spend all sorts of money on it. We'll invest all kinds of time, only to find ourselves unsatisfied. The truth is, even with the Christmas gifts, we look for that perfect gift to give someone. You know what? By next Christmas, they're not satisfied with that anymore. It's something new. In many cases, by the end of Christmas Day, they're not satisfied with it anymore. But Jesus brings satisfaction. Dissatisfaction in life often leads to complex web of sin. We begin to follow all sorts of feelings and things that we see that seem exciting, that we think that we want to be happy with, only to find out it's been a waste of our time and we're miserable. Many times, aimless pursuits looking for happiness have us abusing our bodies, abusing our minds, neglecting others, neglecting our own health, and making dangerous and risky decisions and behaviors. All for a thrill and the hope of happiness. Oh, when will we learn that our happiness, our joy, our peace, our satisfaction is always found in Christ? He always has a better plan for us than we could ever dream for ourselves. The reality is that we learn that Jesus is the only one who brings true fulfillment, delight, and satisfaction. John Piper said this way, God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in Him. The only way to find lasting satisfaction is by surrendering our desires to God and placing our entire hope in Christ alone. Psalms 107 tells us this in verse 8 and 9. Says, let them praise the Lord for His great love and for the wonderful things He has done for them. For He satisfies their thirst and fills their hunger with good things. Oh, today, are you chasing after everything, thinking that's going to bring you happiness? Chasing after possessions, chasing after relationships, chasing after those things out there that look so good, so inviting, when wisdom and truth and the Holy Spirit says your greatest delight will be found in the Son, God's Savior to the world. Do you know Jesus is your Savior today? Have you accepted God's gift? Christmas is God's gift of His Son who brings salvation, who sanctifies us to the Father, who satisfies our longings and desires that will never be filled in this world. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you accepted Him by faith and repentance of your sin? Do you know this person called Jesus? He is God in the flesh. That God loved you so much and He loved me so much that He came Himself in His Son to die on a cross for us. Do you have a relationship with Him? Oh, what a time of reflection we need. Are we just doing church? Are we just playing religion, doing some rituals and rites and think everything will turn out okay? Or do you really have a personal relationship with the Savior? Let's pray together. Father God, today, salvation is just simply that. Us receiving your gift, your Son Jesus. We place our faith in Him and repent of our sins to you. You already know what those sins are, God. You're just wanting us to agree with you that they're wrong and ask your forgiveness. And God, by that miracle of your great grace, that you forgive us and you save our soul, help us today, God. Maybe there's someone in the sound of my voice who've been to church all their lives, God. Maybe they've done all the right things as church-wise go, but they've missed you. God, we pray today that they have a relationship with you. Invite you into their heart once and for all, and they're born again. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.